Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. Have you ever gazed up at the night sky before? For thousands of years and all over the world, humans have looked up at the stars and wondered about the lights that come into view when the sun goes away. Even though it might be hard for us to see the night sky the way our ancestors did because of bright city lights, we can still see amazing things like constellations, meteor showers, comets, and more. Today's guest knows all about the things going on in the night sky and the impact it can have on us as people.
The sky is a unifying force, the way that I see it. It's not just something that connects us around the world, but it quite literally connects us over generations of time because it's relatively unchanging. Whereas humans have changed a great deal, we have all shared the same sky for thousands of years. We can really imagine standing outside with our very same own ancestors, but 1,000 years ago, and just looking at the same stars with pretty similar patterns in mind in our heads.
This is Tom Kerse. He's an astronomer, which means that he studies the things that we see in the sky beyond Earth's atmosphere. As Tom has studied the night sky, he's encountered one of the most interesting phenomena in astronomy, the aurora borealis. Have you ever heard of the aurora borealis before? Maybe you know them by their other name, the northern lights. It might be helpful to ask a grown-up to show you a picture or a video of what the northern lights look like. We have a link in the description that you can click on. The aurora borealis are colorful clouds of light that seem to dance in the night sky. They can be green, pink, purple, and red, and kind of look like glowing, swirling ribbons. There are plenty of pictures and videos out there, but Tom says that there's even more to the lights than what you can see in these pictures.
The still pictures really don't do justice to the northern lights. They're really colorful, of course, and fabulous to look at, but they are really just capturing a tiny moment of a grand production. And likewise, a single stage photo of the Lion King can be dramatic to look at, but you're not going to feel the same as being there in Broadway or the West End if you're in London and seeing the stage show yourself and hearing the music.
Another interesting thing about the Northern Lights is that they don't always look the same.
You can see how the lights move in a variety of different ways. So they can be very docile, they can be very placid, they can be an arc on the horizon. I remember trying to show my mum the Northern Lights once in Iceland, and she thought it was a cloud, and it did look like a cloud. You know, it looked to me like the Northern Lights, but that was only because I had the benefit of experience. It took a while for her to identify any movement. They were so slow. But at other times, the lights can be moving extremely rapidly. It's almost violent, the speed with which they move and the kind of aggression that they dance around the sky. But it never feels, you know, scary. It's always kind of wonderful and beautiful, like watching a bird performing a dance, you know, like a mating ritual or something. Something that you can't really take your eyes off, but you don't feel scared to look at it. So it can be everything in between, and it can be overhead, it can be on the horizon. There can be sudden changes that come and go and last just a minute or so. And there can be storms that last 45 minutes and blanket the sky. It's a sensory overload. So there's every kind of experience to be had. It's probably a big part of the draw, and why people get so addicted as well, is just the thought that, well, the next time you go, you might see something even better.
That sounds incredible. It's easiest to see the northern lights in places near the North Pole, like Iceland, Scandinavia, or Alaska. But on special nights, we've been able to see the aurora borealis from where I live in the Pacific Northwest. The northern lights feel pretty magical, but as Tom knows, there's actually a lot of interesting science going on behind the lights.
We have material coming from the sun that scientists call the solar wind. It streams away from the sun. The material is invisible to us because it's a stream of particles that aren't shining, they aren't emitting any light. So we need an extra ingredient to make those particles shine or to make the light visible, and that's our own atmosphere. And in order to get the particles to hit the atmosphere with enough force for that glowing to occur, we have this extra thing in the mix, which is the magnetic field of our planet. So actually any world with a magnetic field and a sufficiently thick atmosphere will scoop up some of this material from the sun and generate its own auroral.
So solar wind particles from the sun, plus gases in the Earth's atmosphere, plus the planet's magnetic field equals a magical light show? That's absolutely amazing.
I'm glad the northern lights are generated because they are a visible reminder of this unbroken connection between the sun and the Earth. We tend to think of the sun as just our star. It's very far away. It's over 90 million miles away. And so in theory, it shouldn't be reaching us in any way except for the heat and light. But in fact, it is physically touching our planet through this stream of particles that scientists call the solar wind. And the light that we see, well, it's like the foam of a wave crashing. The wave itself might be invisible. If you're looking up the ocean at night, the waves might be too dark to be seen, but the bright foam will pick up the highlights. And the northern lights are just like that, the foam of this invisible wave of material striking the Earth's atmosphere.
The science behind the northern lights is incredible. But you don't need to understand every detail in order to appreciate the wonder of the light show. In fact, for thousands of years, our human ancestors came up with all sorts of different explanations for the aurora borealis.
If you lived under the northern lights and you saw them for months and months of the year, for example, if you were from Lapland or if you were part of a Sami tribe, you would have experienced the lights all the time. They wouldn't shock you or surprise you. You would perhaps have stories that were scary. For example, you might not want children running around at night, going out into the wilderness. So you might tell them, well, you know, if the northern lights catch you, they'll take you up into the sky and you'll never be seen again. If you were in Greece, then you'd have a very different perspective because the northern lights would be seen so infrequently there that you could perhaps go several generations without a sighting. You'd see perhaps red northern lights on the horizon, and the color of those lights might change your perception. You might think that they were dangerous or a bad omen. There's a long history of the northern lights being omens preceding great tragedies or battles across the Mediterranean and the surrounding region.
The northern lights clearly have a big wonder impact on people, whether in ancient times or today. Tom has had many awe-filled experiences looking up at the northern lights, including some that distracted him from paying attention to things going on down on Earth.
The first time I saw the northern lights in Iceland, I was so taken by the view that I actually walked straight into a stream, which was frozen, incidentally, so it was extremely cold, and I put one foot through the ice and just walked into the stream. I was just walking forward idly with my eyes in the sky, probably just drawn forward to get away from a crowd of people or something. And obviously, putting your foot into a frozen stream is a good way to bring yourself back to Earth very quickly. But within a few minutes, my foot had dried off and I was back to the sky again. And it was very hard to think about the science that I knew. It was equally difficult to think about the stories. But after the experience, I found that it was easier to, with what I had in my memory, to start to think about what was really happening, the material coming from the sun, but also think about what people must have felt and experienced in the distant past.
Later, Tom was able to think about the science, the history, and all the other things he knew about the lights. But in the moment, he had time for only one feeling: wonder.
Couldn't help feeling that, particularly with the northern lights, more so than anything else in the sky, it really seems to be alive. It has a genuine character, and the motion is extremely visually arresting and enticing. There's something about it that you just can't help but feel that it's quite creaturely. It doesn't feel like a clockwork mechanism like other things in the sky do. And so for that reason, seeing the northern lights for me was like dreaming when you're awake. It was almost impossible to process. It was only afterwards, the day after, and in talking to some of the other people that had had this experience with me, that I could start to process it and evaluate it through these different lenses. And then, of course, subsequently, over 10 years later, perhaps to some extent, the mystery has gone, but none of the magic is lost. I think you can see the northern lights again and again, and it will almost never tire of it. It's probably more so than anything else in the sky, endlessly interesting to look at.
The aurora borealis is an incredible phenomenon, and I think I speak for all of us when I say that I wish I could look up at my night sky every night and see these dancing lights. However, astronomers like Tom know that there are all sorts of wonders that we can experience when we look up.
I do feel strongly that anyone can just self-learn this hobby. There are events in the sky all the time. I do feel sometimes that just seeing things without really expecting them is sometimes a little bit more fun too. Like seeing a meteor shower without knowing it was happening can be a really moving, powerful experience too. I wish you all very clear skies wherever you are, and just keep one eye up on there. You never know what you're going to see.
I love that. Whether you travel to Iceland to see the Northern Lights or catch a meteor shower in your own backyard, you can learn to be an astronomer too.
A quick word for you parents. This is Marcus Smith. I'm the host of Constant Wonder, the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff kids will love too. But you may be wanting more. We've got a whole episode devoted to astronomers like Tom Kurz and their exploration of the night sky. If you want to hear the full presentation, go find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts. The episode to look for is titled When the Sky Dances. We actually think that you'll love more than just one episode of our podcast, which is an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small. The kind of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we are confident you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.